I ask an interest in your prayers this morning. I want the Lord to bless these moments that we have. I've written on the board, consecration. Underneath that, in parentheses, I've put sanctification, dedication. I should have written holy, etc. Consecration, dedication, holiness, all would fall under the category, I believe, of the term sanctification. Sanctification means something that is set apart. Sanctified is set apart. I read a little line in the book Christian Theology I'd like to share with you here. I think it says a lot about this term of sanctification or consecration, whatever you want to call it. Any attempt accurately and fully to define sanctification must result in failure. Here, please hear this. Any attempt to accurately and fully define it must result in failure. No spiritual or mental operation can be so defined because it is so unique. It is so all-encompassing. It does more than what can be described by words in the heart of the child of God. I'd begin in the book of Romans. I'd like to read two scriptures. 12th chapter, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This comes under the category and the heading of being sanctified or consecrated or dedicated to the Lord. By the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, this does not mean exclusively to be considered for the doctrine of divine physical healing. But it is a scripture that is telling us that we are to present our bodies, present a sound whole to God. The scripture tells us a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. There is no way for you and me to have two allegiances. I can't serve God and mammon. The scripture tells, Jesus clearly said, you cannot serve both. You will hate one and love the other, hold to one, despise the other. You can't serve God and the world at the same time. You can't do it. The only way that you and I are going to be successful in our walk with the Lord is to come to the place where I am willing to consecrate. Now, I recommend to you three things in your salvation experience. The first, of course, is I recommend to you get saved. If you are not saved, I recommend to you find a place of salvation, redemption, regeneration with the Lord God through the blood of Jesus Christ, our Savior. The only way that you will be saved is to plead the blood of Jesus for your soul. There, you will not learn it. You will not come into it by osmosis. You will not grow into it. You must come to a place of conscious realization that I am lost and my sins are separating me from God and from His heaven. And my only hope for that to be fixed, the only remedy for it, is the blood of Jesus. So I recommend to you, get saved. Find salvation. I recommend to you, after you have been saved, that you follow on with the ordinance of baptism. I recommend to you that you repent and be baptized, that you show to yourself, to your fellow man, to the world, and to the enemy of your soul that I am buried this old man and I'm coming forth a new creature. I'm not going to be like I once was. I'm going to be different. I am regenerated. I've been saved. I recommend that to you. And I recommend whatever you want to call it, sanctification, dedication, consecration, I recommend that you come to that place where the Lord, when He knocks on your heart's door and says, there's something more that I want from you, my son, my child, my daughter, are you willing to give me your all? I recommend, I highly recommend to you, answer that call. I highly recommend that to you. When Adam was created, Adam and Eve both were created. They were created pure. They had no inherited inbred sin. They were given choice. They had the ability to make the decisions that they did in the garden because God gave that to them. And they chose to disobey the commandment of the Lord and to partake of that forbidden fruit. And it brought them one step down from God's plane of holiness because of committed sin. The next thing that came on the scene was children were born to Adam and Eve. And we find out quickly, we find out what happened that Adam and Eve passed on to their children. Because they had corrupted their natures by disobeying God, they passed on a corrupt nature to their children. We read in the Scriptures where both of these young men, brothers, were bringing sacrifice to the Lord. The Lord chose and accepted one. The Lord said to the other, I can't accept your sacrifice. It's not right. But I will help you if you'll just listen to me. The Lord clearly told him that I have something for you. Cain, your sacrifice is not acceptable, but if you will listen to me, I will help you and you can have victory over sin because it lies at your door, but you can have dominion over it if you'll just let me help you. But Cain became angry with his brother because his brother's sacrifice was accepted by the Most High God. And the Scripture tells us that he rose up and slew his brother Abel. Two steps down. Not only was there a inherited sin, but now there was a committed sin to go with it. Folks, you and I need two steps up to get back on the plane to where God wants us to be. These two brethren, they went two steps down. There was a committed sin that was passed on to Adam, to Cain and Abel that was inherited. And then they committed sin two steps down from God's plane of holiness. The only way that you and I are going to be back on the level where God wants us to be is we have to make those two steps back up. Salvation and consecration, sanctification, dedication, holiness, whatever category you want to put it in, folks, we need that in order for us to be where God really, truly wants us to be. If a child misbehaves before coming to the age of accountability, God doesn't charge that sin to their account. Children can do some very ugly things. They can do some very ugly things. Without having sin, that type of... Look, you can say it's not sin, but if an adult did it, what would you call it? If an adult did the very same thing that a child does, and it's not sin charged to their account, but an adult did it, what would you call it? You'd call it sin. It's sin. It's not charged to their account because they're not aware of it yet. They haven't come to majority yet. They haven't come to that age of accountability, wherever that is. They haven't developed the judgment system in their minds to be able to determine. They have to be corrected and trained and taught. But ultimately, God Himself has to convince them and convict them of the error of their way before it is charged to their account as sin. But an adult does it. There's no question. Unless, of course, they're mentally incapacitated. But anyone who has their full faculties can do the very same thing a child would do. It's not charged to the child, but it's charged to an adult as sin. All right? We would almost certainly count it as sin. So, what do we do with that thing? that tries to rear up within us from time to time. What do we do with that thing that causes us trouble from time to time? Something has to be done with it. It has to be put on the altar before the Lord. Again, that Romans 12:1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body, you present a sound whole, a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verses 23 and 24. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. The very God of peace sanctify you, set you apart, move you away from these things, and put you in a place that is useful to Him. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Now here's what the difference is, what the rub is. You and I have to be willing to exercise our will in order to follow that lead. We have to be willing to say yes to God in order for us to be sanctified holy. We must be willing to accept that. We must be willing to lay it all down before the Lord. We must be willing, you and I, folks, this is where the real trouble comes in life. That will that God gave to you to give you the power to say yes and the power to say no. He gives you the power to say no to the Most High God, who has all power in heaven and earth, gives you the power to say no to Him. That will is so powerful. That will is so respected by God that He gave it to you. He will not force Himself on you. He will not force you to override your will. He will not cause you to override your will. He wants you to be willing to exercise your will. The very God of peace sanctify you. This is a prayer that the apostle had for the Thessalonians. I want the God of peace to sanctify you wholly, completely, W-H-O-L-L-Y, completely. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is encompassing everything about the human being, whatever he is, whatever you are, heart, soul, mind, strength, all of your abilities, your thought processes, all of your faculties, all of your talents, your time, all of those things, folks, in order for us to truly be successful in a walk with the Lord, where we feel His presence, sense His presence, and know His presence, and know His voice, the only way that we are able to attain to that place is by completely, totally yielding ourselves before God. Now, He is not going to strong arm you into that place, but He will ask you, will you please give yourself to me? He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open to me, I will come in and sup with him. I will come in and we'll sit down together and we'll eat together. And I say to you folks that when you find that place where the Lord knocks on your heart's door initially and wants to save you from your sins, He has great things in store for you. He wants you to be free. He wants you not only to be free here in this life, but God in heaven also knows eternity. He knows heaven. He knows hell. People don't like to hear about hell anymore. Don't teach about it. Don't preach about it. Some people say, I don't even want to believe in it. It doesn't exist. It does exist, folks. Hell is real as heaven is. It exists for those who have rejected the call of God. It exists for those who have rejected God and have turned their backs on Him, who have chosen to follow their own way in life and not accept the Father's way. It exists. It's real. Jesus spoke about it. He spoke very clearly about it. He gave descriptions concerning it. Fire and brimstone, where the worm dieth not, fire is not quenched. It exists. But God, since He knows those two places, He has no, the Scripture tells us, it is not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's what the Lord's will is. Not one person in this room today does God want to see burning eternally in hell. He wants everyone in this building today to enjoy the bliss of eternal life with Him in heaven. To behold with Him everything that He is. Jesus, in His prayer with the disciples to the Father before He was crucified, while He was in the garden, He said, I don't pray only for these. Not just for these who are here with me today, Father, but I pray for all who believe on me through their word. I pray for these that they might behold my glory, the glory that I had with you from the beginning. I pray that they might behold that. Folks, we can't imagine what it will be if we make it inside of God's heaven to be able to behold the glory and majesty of God and the Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, Savior, Redeemer. But we're not going to make that by being reckless and careless in life. We're not going to make it that way by thinking that I can just float along. I have to come to the place in my heart where I am willing to do whatever it takes, Lord, whatever it takes. For me to make it inside, for whatever it takes, it's more than just escaping the damnation of hell. I want it to be a place where we realize that there is an essence of love from the Father. There is an essence of love where He wants a relationship with you, and we want that relationship with Him just as much as He wants that relationship with us. But we have to come to the place where I realize I was lost, I realize I was undone, I realize I was hopeless, helpless in life, and thank You for redeeming my soul, Lord. Thank You for saving my soul and setting me free from all of those things that I had done in my life. Lord, I want to follow You. Lord, I ask for Your help along the way. Lord, I'm asking You, day my prayers day by day. I'm asking You, Lord, will You guide me? Will You lead me? And He comes to you. Jesus said in John 17:17, in His prayer, sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth. This term sanctify, agiazo, in the Greek, means to render or acknowledge, to be venerable or to hallow. Hallow them. Separate them from profane things and dedicate to God. Purify them through Thy truth. Cleanse externally. Purify internally. It means all of those things. Sanctify means all of those things, folks. It's like I said, like the book Christian Theology said, you can try to define the word sanctification and consecration in theological terms, but we'll never be able to fully define it because we can't say everything that it is and that it does. Because it does things for you that I don't understand, because you have unique battles and circumstances in your life that I can't relate to. But God is able to meet those in your sanctification, in your dedication, in your consecration. He's able to do that for you. He's able to do things for you that I can't do. He's able to do things for you that I don't understand. He's able to do things for me that you don't understand. Things that you don't relate to about me that I understand, that I know about myself, that I know what God has done for this man. And you know what He's done for that man. And you know how He carries you each day and how He is able to speak to you through whatever media, whatever way He chooses to speak to you. He speaks to some through nature. He speaks to some through song. He speaks through some through looking at the moonrise and the sunset, the sunrise and the sunset. He does those kinds of things. We beheld a beautiful sunset, I believe it was last Wednesday evening. Beautiful, beautiful, great big orange ball in the sky. Beautiful. Beautiful full moon coming up over the eastern horizon. Beautiful full moon coming up. Some people can walk through life and never care, never notice a full moon, never notice a beautiful sunrise, sunset. Some people live to get up in the morning to greet the sunrise because it's a new day. And it reminds them of things in their life. And it reminds them of a new birth. And it's a special place and time for God to come to them and visit them wherever your place is. God knows that for you. But a central focal point in all of these things must be God. Not man. Not my way. Not my thinking. Not my ambitions. Not my mind. Man can do a lot of things by sheer force of will. But you will never save your soul by sheer force of will. You will have your soul saved by yielding that will to the will of God. You will find consecration, dedication, sanctification by yielding that will to God. Turn to Hebrews. Chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 beginning. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Let's talk about this place, the holiest, for a moment. In the old tabernacle system, there were two structures. Well, one structure, two rooms. Outside of the holy place was the brazen altar. And between the brazen altar and the veil to the holy place was the cleansing laver. The golden altar was the place where sacrifices were to be made, and the cleansing laver was to be a place where you were washed, regenerated, justification. Once you had entered into the most holy place, the next item that you would come in contact with would be the brazen altar, the golden altar, which indicated sanctification, dedication, holiness, consecration, purity. Blood was sprinkled on both of these altars, signifying a cleansing in both instances. Folks, there is a cleansing in salvation. And there is an intended cleansing in sanctification. It is something that the Lord desires for every one of His children. May I encourage you today, if you have not been sanctified, may I encourage you today, find that place of sanctification in everything that it entails with the Lord to bring peace to your mind, and your spirit, and your soul. Hebrews 10:19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled, that blood was sprinkled on these altars, having our hearts sprinkled with the blood of Jesus, from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. The only way, folks, that you and I are going to be a candidate for sanctification, dedication is, I must be saved first. I must be justified first by the blood of Jesus. Now, in my closing comments here, I'd like to share with you some things that I heard week, 10 days or so ago, as I was going over some old information and listening to some instructional material on churchofgodpreaching.com. 1986, I believe it was, there was a ministers' meeting in Myrtle, Missouri. There were several ministers in attendance there. Two of the ministers who were in attendance, there are recordings of two of their... There are two ministers' recordings of six sessions. Brother Clifford Wilson has two. Brother Mark Sammons has four. There were others who spoke, but for whatever reason, their sessions were not recorded. I don't know the reasons why. Wasn't there. But I just know that those are there available. And I remember in one of those listening to Brother Mark Sammons speaking of his experience of salvation and moving on to that next phase in his life when he didn't really even know what it was. He had heard it being preached and he had sought for it. If I remember correctly, he had gone to an altar of prayer and sought for it. And he had gotten up and was by faith attempting to claim that sanctification by faith. But if my memory serves me correctly, he wasn't satisfied. He didn't feel that he had really gained what he was looking for. And he was in another meeting when another minister spoke about the same doctrine of dedication, consecration, sanctification. And he felt the draw of the Holy Spirit on his heart. And he felt the Lord leading him to come down to that, just go down to that altar, my child, and pray. And these are kind of the words he said. I'm going to have to improvise some because I wasn't able to find it to try to jot it down. But this is what sticks in my mind. He said, I went down to that altar. He said, and I knelt down. And I didn't even know what it was that I was asking for. But I knelt down at that altar of prayer and I said, Lord, I give you everything I was. I give you everything I am. And I give you everything that I ever will be. I don't know what else to do, Lord. I don't know what else to say, but I just give it all to you. He said the Lord met me there. Folks, that's what the Lord wants from every one of us. He wants us to come to that place where I am willing to walk away from my own thought and my own mind, and my own ways, and my own thinking, my own disciplines, my own regimens, and put it all on an altar before the Lord. He said, Lord, I give it all to you. All that I was, all that I am now, all that I ever will be. Does anyone in here know what you will, everything that you will be in the future? You young men, young ladies, do any of you know what you will be in the future? No, you do not. I'll answer that question for you because I can answer it with certainty. You do not know what you will be in the future. I know that. But I know what you can do. You can come to an altar of prayer and you can dedicate all those things to the Lord. Lord, whatever I am this day, whatever I will be, whatever I will have in my future, Lord, I give all of that to you. I trust you with it. He said the Lord met him there. The Lord blessed him there. And after I listened to those sessions, those four different sessions of the ministers meeting there in Myrtle, I know that Brother Mark Sammons had his flaws and his faults and his failures along the way in life. He said so on that tape. I'm not saying anything that he hadn't said. But I do believe with all of my heart that he loved the Lord. And I do believe with all of my heart he made an effort to put Him first. And I believe with all of my heart that he spent himself as much as he possibly could with the things of the Lord in the gospel work. I believe that. I believe when he prayed that day that he meant it. Everything that I was, what I am today, and whatever I will be, I give it to you, Lord. That's what I need to do. I just give it all to you. Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. What the Lord is asking of you and me today in our lives is not to follow our own steps. Folks, you can get saved and you can live saved for a while. And I can't tell you how long that you can live saved without actually being able to have that full consecration, dedication, because at some point in a justified state, you are going to become discouraged and you are going to lose out in your soul with the Lord. I'm not here to tell you I can't put a timeline on it, but I know that it's not intended for that to be the only thing that a man has throughout his entire span of life is only justification. The Lord wants you to have dedication, consecration, sanctification, being willing to be set apart. Justified life is a beautiful life. It's a wonderful life where you're saved from your sins. And thank God for it. But God doesn't intend you to stay in that place forever. He did not intend the Israelites to wander in that wilderness for 40 years. He had a land of Canaan prepared for them to go into pretty soon after the fact. But they balked. They balked on the Lord and they spent 40 years wandering in a wilderness. But then He led them out of that place into a land that Scripture says flowed with milk and honey. And children, I'm going to profess to you my ignorance. I used to envision as a child rivers of milk and honey flowing through the land. Maybe some of the other children did the same. But in my mind, that's what I just envisioned. Milk and honey flowing through the land like rivers and creeks and streams. It's not that way. It was a land of plenty. A land of fatness. A land of good. The land of consecration, dedication, sanctification, holiness, whatever category you want to put on it, is a land that God has for your eternal soul that is a fat land. It is a place. It's not a literal place. It's a figurative place that God has for your never-dying soul to be filled with fatness from the things of God you will never find on your own. It's a land, He said, you're going to go inhabit a land that has houses you didn't build. You're going to inhabit a land that has vineyards that you didn't plant. Has trees in it that you never planted. Folks, that's what you and I, if you are sanctified today, you are enjoying a land that you didn't plant. That God prepared for you. Everything in it God prepared for you, for us. May I encourage you today. May I invite you to do as Brother Mark did that day when he was seeking for something that he couldn't explain, something he couldn't describe with words. I believe that's how he said, I didn't know what to call it. But Lord, I just give it to you. I turn loose of it all and I give it all to you. And now, whatever you make of this man, whatever you do with this man from this day forward, Lord, it's yours. He's asking you to do the same thing. God is asking you to be willing to do the same thing. Will you do it? Pray for me. I want to make heaven my home. Thank you for your time and attention this morning. Amen.